Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover.
Across our university city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Stop Them Dead is the latest instalment of the Detective Superintendent Roy Grace series, and author Peter James is on the line. He was inspired, we're told, after hearing about a fast-growing new crime of organised crime gangs making more money from the legal trade in dogs than drugs, and the far lower prison sentence if caught. Morning to you, Peter.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. We had a bit of a line issue, but it's all sorted now, I'm pleased to say. It's an interesting line, this, these sort of organised crime gangs making more money from dogs than drugs. It kind of vaguely reminds me of London in the 1990s, where I think it was criminals, well, not necessarily criminals, could make more money from importing Coca-Cola legally than they could cigarettes illegally. Such was the price difference at the time. But when did you spot something like this in the papers? What sort of the inspiration comes from?
Yes, I did. If I can sort of preface this just to reassure everyone listening who loves animals that I'm a massive dog lover, as is my wife. I've not depicted any dogs being harmed in the book. I have depicted plenty of nasty villains being harmed.
Yeah, they can have as sticky ends as they like, really, can't they?
Absolutely. But where this started was, I read a piece in the local Brighton paper, The Argus, about nearly 3 years ago, about a woman. She'd been walking her Springer Spaniel in a park in the city, and she was mugged, and the dog was stolen. And then I read that the dog was worth £5,000. It was a breeding bitch. And I was astonished, and not only that, as a massive dog lover myself, I thought how horrific it would be to have my dog stolen. You know, it's bad enough being mugged, but if you lose your handbag or your watch, at least you've got insurance. But a dog is part of your heart and soul, and just the thought of a dog being in the hands of some god-awful person. And I had a meeting with the chief constable of Sussex, but a couple of days later by sheer chance. And I just said, what was that all about? And she said, that is the tip of the iceberg. She said, the value of dogs has gone up 10 times during lockdown. And the crime, all the kind of major crime gangs across the UK realised that there is a pot of gold to be had. And if they're caught with drugs, they're looking at 5 to 15 years. If they're caught either stealing dogs, illegally importing dogs, or illegally breeding dogs, the maximum sentence is about 6 months.
So I guess the risk for them is so much less. And I'm thinking for a contemporary character like Roy Grace, where the stories are set effectively now, having a storyline like that which resonates with what's happening today makes the stories even more believable.
It does. I always try with all the Roy Grace thrillers to keep them very relevant and to deal with crimes of our time. Like, you know, I've dealt with internet romance fraud in the past and many other kind of modern crimes. And this particularly fascinated me. And I'm also a patron of the RSPCA, and they've been massively helpful with Stop Them Dead in terms of helping me on research. And they astonished me. I mean, I had a... Well, earlier my research, and the price is still the same today. They said if you wanted to buy a particular shade of colour of breeding French bulldog, a bitch, £100,000, and the puppies are staggering £25,000 each. So it's no wonder that there's a massive crime wave related to it. And I just was immediately fascinated because it's not only the crime, but the emotional aspect of people who own and love dogs.
I'm intrigued, Peter. You said you bumped into the chief constable, I think it was, a few days ago. Do you also have sort of, you know, Brighton lowlife who you also bump into from time to time to sort of help keep, the other side of the storyline true?
Yeah, I like when I'm writing the Roy Grace thrillers, I'm fascinated by criminals. What makes them tick. So I always try to write every book from a perspective of really three different perspectives. Firstly, from the perspective of the villain. Secondly, the perspective of the victim. And thirdly, obviously, the perspective of Roy Grace and the whole policing behind it. One of the charities that I do a lot of work for, I'm an ambassador for, is the Reading Agency, which tries to encourage literacy in British prisons, because the average reading age inside UK prisons for, I think, 60% of the inmates is below 11 years old. So I do a lot of talks in prisons, and that gives me the opportunity after the talks to mingle and meet with prisoners right across, from really fairly minor offenders up to lifers for murder.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of inspiration from them.
What do you think?
No,
I was going to ask I really, you know, I enjoyed, my wife and I, we watched, I think we might have somehow missed the first series of Grace when the John Sim portrayal came on ITV. So we sort of immediately went back and watched, if you like, the first series on catch up before we went it through. It's clearly a character who's built in his personal life, the mystery involving his wife in there as well. Do you sort of map that out separately to the main plot so that you know, if you like, what might be happening to Roy in, I don't know, two or three books' time, whereas you're not quite so sure about what the major plot might be?
Yeah, I think it's, for me, what I love about writing the Roy Grace thrillers is trying to show readers what it actually really is like to be a police officer, that it's not just about the solving of the crime, it's the impact that your work has on your own private life. It's going home after dealing with something really gruesome and bathing your kid and putting your kid to bed and you know, trying to lead a normal life when you're faced with all the darkness that your work brings you. And I think John Sim is amazing. If you'd asked me in 2003, when I first created Roy Grace, to do a police photo fit of what Roy Grace looked like, honestly, I would have come up with John Sim. And he's just a dream to work with. He's just one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Mm-hmm. And very different character as well to Life on Mars, and you know, had a spell in Doctor Who, as well as the villain there. And he does put a completely different characterization, presumably set out from the work in your books and of the screenplay.
Yes, when ITV phoned me and said, this was about 5-6 years ago, and I said, what do you think about John Sim playing Roy Grace? I wanted to bite their hand off, and I had 3 weeks of hoping and praying he was going to do it. And then John and I met, and amazing. The first thing he did was he bought all 16 Roy Grace books, as it was then, and just sat down and read them to get into the kind of character. And we meet up regularly, and we talk through aspects of the character and obviously of his missing wife, Sandy. And in fact, I've got something of a treat for my fans coming out next May, which is a spin-off novel called They Thought I Was Dead, Sandy's Story.
Oh, interesting. That's a very interesting sideline to that. Quickly, I haven't got too much time left. I wanted to ask you about the theatre side of things, where presumably all sorts of different actors are playing Roy. Is that tricky? Are you able to keep the character true within those?
Yes, I mean, it's very different in the stage play, because In the Roy Grace novels, I can have a huge cast of characters, and whereas on the stage, obviously, you're limited to a very few amount of sets, and also to a very limited cast. But I love the live theatre. I've learned a lot. I love sitting at the back of the theatre watching, and also things go wrong in the live theatre. I remember when we had Dead Simple, and it was touring England, and it starts with the main character being buried alive in a coffin after a stag night prank, and you know, his mates put him in a coffin, they're going to come back and dig him up in 2 hours' time. And as they drive off, they all get wiped out in the car wreck, and he's just left stuck there in the coffin. And when we had the crash, we actually had a van pointing at the auditorium, and they drive off and they're all jeering and laughing. And then there's this almighty bang, and we got all the whole theatre completely dark. And there's this silence, and Jamie Lomas was playing the guy in the coffin at the time, and you hear him on his walkie-talkie, he goes, "Where am I?" and a voice very helpfully from the audience shouted out, "You're in Woking, mate."
Brilliant. It'd be wonderful chatting to you this morning. So Stop Them Dead is the new one. When can we get it?
Stop Them Dead is out on Thursday. Should be everywhere, every bookstore, supermarket, your local independent bookshop, and of course on Amazon and all the online sellers as well.
Well, I'm sure a number of people will be getting a copy of that at Heffers in Cambridge, or perhaps at other places as well.
I always love supporting local bookshops as much as possible.
Well, thank you very much, Peter, for chatting to us. That's Peter James, author of the Roy Grace series, and Stop Them Dead is out in all good bookshops, as they say, on Thursday.
Cambridge 105 Radio.